You're listening to Virtual Soundscapes. Good evening and welcome to Virtual Soundscapes on WJFF Radio Catskill. It's 10 o'clock and I'm your host, Matt Hurtado. We just heard the credits song, The Power, from Baldur's Gate 3, a game which is one of the best RPGs released in the last 10 years and sets our RPG theme for the evening. At the end of the episode, we'll talk to Tom Gandella about Stolen Realm, but let's hear some more music from Larian Studios. This is The Power of Innocence from Divinity Original Sin 2. Nostalgic Melodies by Serenade is a compilation of beautiful renditions of old RPG music. That was the title track, Nostalgic Memories, from Final Fantasy V. Before that, we heard Air Alive from Solasta, Crown of the Magister, a fantasy tactical RPG which has a sequel coming out later this year. We're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we'll hear more music from Minecraft, Dungeons & Dragons, as well as from Stolen Realm.
Thank you for listening to Radio Catskill. And thank you for being a fan of public radio. We know not everyone is. But despite a handful of detractors and defunders out there, Radio Catskill is reaching more communities than ever before. We're constantly connecting new neighbors to our quality programming, fact-based journalism, and life-saving information. And we're able to keep doing more and more of this good work because of our fans, our friends, our dedicated listeners and supporters who donate at wjffradio.org. Their gift is a statement about the kind of community they want to live in, informed, engaged, and connected. They send a message that trustworthy local news matters, that community connection matters, and that public radio in communities like ours across the country deserves a strong future. Please, be a part of that future today. Give now at wjffradio.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to Virtual Soundscapes on WJFF Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Matt Hurtado. That was Mithril Hall from the Minecraft Dungeons & Dragons DLC. Next up, three songs from Stolen Realm, a tactical RPG released in 2021, and the focus of this week's Virtual Soundscapes Video Game Club interview that we'll hear at the end of the episode. First up, Cinder City, composed by Jennifer Jolly.
Thank you.
Descent into the Forgotten, and Sunken Swamp, composed by Jennifer Jolly for the 2021 tactical RPG Stolen Realm. Let's now talk to fellow WJFF volunteer Tom Gandela to hear more about that game. You're listening to Virtual Soundscapes on WJFF Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Matt Hurtado, and today I'm joined again by Tom Gandela. This is the third Virtual Soundscapes Video Game Club episode where my guest chooses a game and we talk about it. The game Tom chose today is called Stolen Realm. Tom, welcome to the show. You want to introduce the game and talk about it?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me again on the show. So Stolen Realm, it is basically a turn-based, simultaneously turn-based. It's an interesting point to it. So basically, if you're playing co-op, you and your co-op person can move simultaneously, but it's still a turn-based. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not like you go, I go, you go, I go. You know, you go, game goes. It's sort of simultaneous, then the game goes. And tactical dungeon crawling looter. It's got RPG elements to it. And basically you can control up to six different characters, your standard D&D type, you know, mm-hmm. a thief, a magic user, a bard, a healer, that sort of thing. And, of course, a tank or, you know, a fighter. And you could play co-op, and each one of you basically share three different characters, and you play the game, and it's a lot of fun. It features, as I said, turn-based combat system simultaneously, sort of like we talked about Divinity some time ago.
Yeah.
Now, the graphics are, you know, not as good as a Divinity. It is not as big of a world. It is these procedural generated maps that are different each time. It has a storyline which is kind of,
I agree.
You know, it's one of those typical, you know, you got to save someone from the, I think the character's father.
Yeah.
You know, you got to save him from whatever evil forces there were. And so there is a storyline, but to be honest with you, we didn't pay too much attention to it because we tend to play over weeks at a time, and sometimes we'll play on a, you know, a couple of nights a week, and then we'll miss a bit, and we kind of forget, you know,
right.
what the story is about. But basically, you know, the graphics are not fantastic in the game, but it's a fun little game, and it's, you know, it's typical. You get the spell points, and you get perks and things like that. What we found kind of difficult with it, because it could be really hard. I don't know how much you played of it, but it could be rather difficult, particularly at the beginning levels of the game. And we found that we failed a couple of times, you know, and had to kind of restart from our save point, which it does have, which is nice. You know, some games out there, I'm playing one now, the Obelisk, and, you know, if you fail, you're out. You got to restart the whole thing. Now, it does have several different plays that you could use, you know, anything from beginners up to, what do they call it when you...
Difficulty levels?
The difficulty, The difficulty levels, what do they call it when you die and that's it? You know?
It's like the roguelite mode.
It's a mode of playing, what it's called, but people out there who play games knows what
Permanent death.
Permanent death.
Yeah.
Permadeath is what it's called. So it has that feature as well. Of course, there are spells. There are upgrades, which is a lot of fun. I mean, you can upgrade your equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You can craft equipment. A lot of that, though, takes some time to develop. And that was one of the drawbacks that we found, was that in order to gain those abilities or those recipes
right.
for crafting, it took us some time to get there because there were actually acts to it. You know, and I believe if I could remember correctly, the first act, we didn't see too much of that.
Yeah, I don't think it started until like the second or third. I mean, by the second, you definitely start getting some of the stuff. And then by the third, I think it's kind of like they're positioning you to be able to build more on your characters. And
right. Exactly.
I think, you know, you mentioned the graphics aren't great, but where I think it makes up for it is the character builds you can make,
mm-hmm.
The different things you can do with your characters, and then the kind of depth of combat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting. I can see the people compare it to Baldur's Gate or Divinity because, you know, it's like you can put an exploding barrel next to an enemy before you start a fight if you know where the enemy is going to be. And then.
Exactly. You kind of do, right? I mean, because it has an initial positioning mode. So in other words, you know, you enter into a battle and the first thing you do is position your characters where you want them
right
before the actual battle starts. So that's a really nice feature because you can strategize and figure out exactly what you want to do and what spells you're going to use and with your co-op partner. And I do like that that barrel feature.
Yeah,
we used it a lot, and we found that we actually had to use it because the difficulty, it can get really very difficult, you know, where these characters, characters that regenerate, you mm-hmm. know, and stuff like that, and then it becomes really hard to win a battle, you know. And as I said, you don't go all the way back, but, you know, if you spend 20, 15 minutes playing a game and then suddenly you're wiped, it's a party wipe,
right.
You got to kind of start that all over again. But I did like that feature, and it took us a while before we realized that, before we figured that piece out, where yeah. we could use those barrels and move them. And some of the great features that some of the characters have is the ability to move a barrel that's across the map.
Right.
And like bring it.
Mage hand it, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Teleport it, whenever you want to go, port it over and yeah. put it exactly where you want it, so that the first thing that happens is those barrels, you know, explode. When, you know, you got to shoot them, obviously.
Did you ever misclick and accidentally blow up a barrel?
I did.
Yeah, me too.
I did. Not only misclick, but I've actually, you know, well, misclick in that because you have to actually physically pick them up.
Right.
And then move them to where you want. And now each character only has a certain amount of spaces that they can move them. Unless you have a character with a spell that does it, you know, that has that spell that can move a barrel anywhere on the map. But I have accidentally, instead of using the hand pickup,
yeah.
use the battle, you know, the melee.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, blew up the barrel. And, you know, then my partner's like, yeah, great. It's a good way to start.
I did that more than once.
But it's a fun game, you know, if you like this sort of game. You know, it is a turn-based, as I said. The simultaneous thing is really nice. You know, you're not waiting minutes at a time for your partner to decide what to do. But it does allow you to have a lot of discussion about, okay, what are we going to do? Let's set up our strategy. Let's move that barrel. And you know, it's a lot of fun. Then you get to go to town and you get to buy new potions. You get to upgrade your equipment. That's another thing. There's lots and lots of different equipment that you can purchase and upgrade. And it seems like every time you go into a town, there's new stuff. Of course, there's buying and selling. You could sell your equipment. You could, as I said, create or craft not only equipment, but you can craft potions, which, again, it took us a while to get some of those recipes because that's you don't find them. It's
right.
not like a recipe you find. It's sort of as you advance in the game, you get them. You get the recipe. So I found that a little disconcerting because I like the discovery type thing where you actually find something or even buy something like a recipe and then you have it. So we had a couple of times search Google and ask Google, you know, how do we get a recipe for this thing? And that's the only part I didn't really like about the game. And you're right about the graphics. They're not distracting at all. I mean, they're good enough.
Yeah.
You know, there's you're not getting a Baldur's Gate 3.
Somewhere around like somewhere between RuneScape and EverQuest, I'd say.
And some other games, Gloomhaven is another one. So Across the Obelisk is what I was talking about before. That's what we're playing now. But it's a, you know, it's a great game. Just going to read some notes here I've got. It's a good-looking game. So you can play solo, as I said, with friends, up to six players. Okay. So what we did was just me and another guy. We each took three characters.
Yeah. Okay?
And, you know, there are a bunch of different characters you can choose from. It's got the full campaign mode, it's got a roguelike mode, and it's got a streamer mode. I didn't play any of those, we just played the campaign.
I did the roguelike mode.
So what was that like?
So basically it takes all of the story element out of it.
Okay.
And it is permadeath, so it's like, but it's kind of like, it just gives you different randomized battle encounters to go through, and you get equipment faster, and like potions and stuff faster.
Oh.
But there's no story. It's all just fighting and just seeing how far along you can get in these series of battles.
Okay, so it just continues to go. Do you get to go to town and craft and stuff like that?
Yeah, between battles you can.
Okay. Yeah. Now, we usually do the campaign, but as I said, we probably would have been better off with something like that, because the campaign storyline, you know, we just weren't following it. I don't know if it was just us or, you know, it's not that it's a bad story, you know, but it's a typical story that you see in a lot of,
a
lot of these games these days, you know.
Yeah, it's a very typical kind of D&D hook campaign.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. You know, kill the bad guy and you know, find out more about the story and that sort of thing. So, that you know, that's the game. I enjoyed it. And, oh, the playability, you know, you have, I think you could really replay this game a lot.
Yeah, I think so. I think it'd be fun to try with more than two people. I mean, I only played it by myself, so I was controlling all six characters, but I think it'd be fun to have one person control each of the characters. That seems like kind of insane, but fun.
I agree. Well, see, and the good part about that is because it is simultaneous movement, you don't have to wait for your partner. You
know? Right.
So if you're playing with six people, you know, and you have to wait for that guy to move and make his decision, you know, you sort of come collaborating, but at the same time doing your thing while somebody is doing their thing. So that's really helpful. I mean, if you play a game like Civilization where, as co-op, you could be sitting there for 20 minutes, you know, waiting for your partner to move, so it's a good game.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
What do you think of the soundtrack?
I like the music. You know, I think it's perfect for your show.
Yeah.
That's why I picked it, really, is because, again, you know, I'm always, when I'm playing now that I, you know, listened to your show and participate in your show, I listen more to what's available soundtrack-wise, you know, and music-wise.
Yeah.
You know, again, not the best, you know, it's not great, but, you know, it's good and it's innovative and, you know, it's got distinctive music. So when you boot up the game, you know you're in the game, you know, from that music. So it was good.
And, well, it was interesting. I was looking into the soundtrack. It's composed by a woman named Jennifer Jolly. She has done film and, like, orchestra. I think this is her first game that she's composed for, like specifically. She composed the soundtrack for this game. I looked at her website, and I think she sells compositions that you can use in different things. But I thought she did a really great job. I mean, it felt dynamic. Like, when you get into a fight, the soundtrack, ramps up. I thought it was a great job. So
that's interesting.
I look forward to hearing more from her in the future, hopefully in the world of video games.
And that was her first video game?
As far as I could find, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, no, yeah, I didn't do any history on that, but I guess for your show, you would do that.
And I think they have, there's a new Stolen Realm, like, spinoff game coming out soon.
Yes. Yes. It's not out yet. I don't think it is, like, a new adventure, though.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's, like, a different thing altogether. Yeah. I mean, it's set in the same universe, but a different game. Stolen Realm Survivors. Yeah, online co-op survivor-like auto shooter.
Yeah, it sounds more like that roguelike
version
of the game where you just keep on going till you can't.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what some of the games that are out there now, like Across the Obelisk, as I was talking about, they basically, you can't really stop when you're in the middle of it. You can't just pop back to town.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if you played that game. And then
I haven't. I'll check it out, though.
Yeah, it's a fun game. It's not too expensive on Steam as well. But again, you know, you have to play it, and it's card based. So if you like card games, you're using cards and as your battle. But we're talking about two different games.
Yeah. Now,
you know. But anyway, it's a good game and interesting music, and I enjoyed it. And playability is always important. You know, how often you can go back to the game and enjoy it again, and because it has those different modes.
Yeah.
Not only in difficulty, but in ways you play. I think its replayability is very good on this game.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about the graphics, but like I think there's also something to be said there. If your computer's not very good,
absolutely,
it's really easy to run this game, and it's really replayable, and it's cheap. So I think it's a great game for, you know, somebody that's just, you know, they're like, oh man, I want to play Baldur's Gate, but my computer's not good enough. You know, go play Stolen Realm.
Right, go play Stolen Realms because it is a fun game and it is engaging. And if you like this type of battling and turn-based, it's a lot of fun. You know, we had a good time. It took us probably a couple of months to finish it, though. You know.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because the way we play.
Oh, right.
Like I said, we play a couple of days here, there.
Yeah.
You know, and we try to get the most out of the game that we can.
Yeah.
Now that'll bring me to the ending of the game. I don't know if you play. You said you didn't play the campaign.
I played some of the campaign. I didn't finish it though.
Well, the ending of the campaign was kind of was not. I didn't think was that great.
Okay.
It's one of those things where it sort of ends, you know, and you're done. You know, it's like there was no fanfare. There wasn't any kind of special video or anything like that that occurs in a lot of games, you know, when you play, when you come to the end game. It kind of like you finish the last mission and the game's over, roll credits.
Yeah.
So that was when I think one of the weak points of the game.
I do like it in games where after you finish, you can kind of keep playing from where you stopped. I mean, even if it doesn't make sense, there's no more story to do.
Sure.
You can still go do random battles and
absolutely
finish up all the other
absolutely
things you didn't do.
And you can do this with this game. And you can take the characters that you've earned, the levels and stuff, mm-hmm, and bring them into the other modes.
Oh, that's cool.
Of the game. So
yeah, I think you mentioned that when we were trying to play and then it didn't work out.
Yeah, yeah, it would be nice. You know, sometimes we actually play the game together. So a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun games.
So, well, thanks so much, Tom. I had a great time playing Stolen Realm and a great time chatting about it. And so,
always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Next time is your turn. You know, you got to come up with another game, and we'll see. There's a lot of them out there. A lot of new stuff coming out. Check out what I told you, the Across the Obelisk. You might like that. Maybe we'll talk about that next time.
From what you described, it sounds like Slay the Spire.
It is exactly like that.
Okay.
It is exactly like that.
Well, then I would love to play that.
Yeah, I think a little better graphically, mm-hmm, than Slay the Spire. And different maps. So there's different routes you can take.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's not just that. Slay the Spire was almost like a ladder system. Like, you know, you go to this point, then you go to that point, then you go to that point, and you try to get to the top. If you don't make it to the top, you're back down to the bottom again.
Yeah.
The same concept with this game, but it has a little bit more, I think, involved in it. Now, I haven't been paying too much of the attention to the music in that, but I will because we're still playing it. We'll probably play tonight or tomorrow.
Cool, yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Tom.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Have a listen to your show. Happy New Year to you, buddy.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Okay.
This has been Virtual Soundscapes on WJFF Radio Catskill. I've been your host, Matt Hurtado. If you enjoyed the show tonight and want to hear it again, you can find it online at WJFFradio.org. Our outro song tonight is Between Heaven and Earth from Fire Emblem Three Houses. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week at 10 p.m. for more great video game music.
You know, you may not be hearing a lot about it in the headlines this summer, but public radio is still facing some serious challenges, and they demonstrate that we need listeners like you now more than ever. So stand with us now. Trustworthy local news matters. Community connection matters. And public radio deserves a strong future. If you haven't given, please make your donation. Give now at wjffradio.org or on the Radio Catskill mobile app.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, this week on Latino USA. We hear from the voice of soccer in the United States for so many of us, announcer Andres Cantor. Goal! That's this week on Latino USA. Thursday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.